Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Anybody in here got anything to thank him for? Take a moment and take a moment and share it with somebody. Just one thing. Hallelujah. He maybe kept you over the holiday from having a head-on collision. Maybe he healed your body. Maybe blessed you with some finance. But turn to somebody and just share it with them.
Welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Prophetess Overseer Sadie Elliott. Today we have an exciting topic we're going to be talking about. But before we start, let's have a few moments of prayer. Gracious Father, we come this morning in the most humblest way we know how. We come in giving you praise, giving you glory, giving you thanks. Because if it has not been for you on our side, where would we be this morning, dear Heavenly Father? We say thank you, dear Heavenly Father. And as I go through this broadcast today, dear Heavenly Father, let Sadie step out the way, Lord, and let the Holy Ghost use me in the way you would have with this show, dear Heavenly Father. Bless all the listeners that's listening in and those that will be coming on even in the archive. I give you praise this morning, and I give you the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today our topic is believers must encourage each other to firmly hold to Jesus. And for my subtopic, it would be watch out. Ah, yeah, I know I caught you. Watch out. You know, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, not my voice, but his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellions on the day of testing in the wilderness. Some of you all going through a wilderness experience right now. Where your father tested me, tried me, we have been tested and we have been tried. And saw my words for 40 years, provoked with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be any in you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, an even unbelieving heart that depart from the living God, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin deception. You know, for we have become companion of the Messiah if we hold firmly unto the end that reality that we at the start. You know, when you think about that, today if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. When you hear the word of God going forth, or God is telling you something, do what God, the Holy Ghost, Yahshua, is telling you. You know, there are warning signs appear everywhere. You know, in fact, we see so many that we can miss some of them, because in the course of a day, you see a lot of warning signs, and you trying to catch them all or do them all. No. Or worse, we start to ignore the ones we see. Now, just imagine, however, how dangerous driving would be if all the caution signs suddenly disappeared. Think of how many people might get hurt by walking too near an unmarked construction site, or taking unlabeled medicine, or getting too close to wild animals. We need the warning sign. We dare not ignore them. God has given us warning signs in this time, in this generation, in this dispensation. I know you're saying, well, what are warning signs that you see most every day? Well, you know, I'm glad you asked. You know, warning signs do not wish were in place for your spiritual journey with Christ. And I went to Hebrews 3:7-15. And the biblical writing posted an urgent warning for believers. We must not let the test of life harden our heart against God. We should be surprised when our confession of Christ draws ridicule, opposition, or persecute from the devil, because he's coming and his crowd. You know, when we quake in fear rather than grow in faith, we're in real danger of slipping into disobedience. You know, the journey of faith is a lifelong track requiring us to maneuver through twists and turns that put our devotion to Christ to the test. You know, we have a mutual responsibility as believers to warn and encourage one another daily in this matter. When God have given you a word or have shown you a warning sign, someone may not have seen it, but he's given it to you to show somebody, don't go down there to that corner, or don't go to that building. God showed me something was going to happen there. Detour. You know, believers must encourage each other to firmly hold to Jesus. And that's what we have to do daily. Hold on to what God is saying daily, because he's given us warning signs every day. Now it's up to us to do and look at the signs he's given us. You know, things that you see right now where you know you the word is fulfilling, where you wouldn't even know what the seasons are. Some places it's real hot. Some places it's cold. Some places it's snow. Some places got blizzard. Some places have an earthquake. But when God is giving you these signs, he's giving you all these signs for a reason. Remember that at least some of the first read of the book of Hebrews was believers who came to Christ out of a background of Judaism. You know, they were stepping in Old Testament understanding when they heard the gospel. They believed in Jesus as Messiah and Lord, as we do today. But now, however, their confession of Christ had begun to prove costly. They encounter hostility from some quarters.
You know, they suffered hardship because of their faith. Therefore, some of them had stopped gathering with other believers for worship for fear of being identified and targeted as Christians. They show signs of retreating from their confession of Christ. You see, that's going on right now in the generation. Some people don't want to talk about Jesus on their job, in any area they may be in. You know, God has showed them something to tell somebody. Well, I'll call you on the phone. He might be speaking to you right there in front of that person. But you're scared to acknowledge God. You're scared of what the people going to say or what, quote, unquote, they going to say. But what did Jesus say? Must encourage each other to hold firmly to Jesus. You know, from the very first word of the epistle writing of Hebrew, you know, Jesus is Jesus, the divine Son of God, who vastly outranked the angels. Yet Jesus also took on human nature to provide a great salvation that must not be neglected. You know, Hebrews showed Jesus to be the full and final revelation of God to the world. You know, when you think about that, you think about the prophets, the angels, Moses, all the Old Testament worshiper and sacrifice. God has spoken through those mean in the past. Yet, they only foreshadow what Jesus did by coming in the flesh. He came in the flesh, dying on the cross for each one of us and raising from the dead. You know, he only died one time. He was raised from the dead. He is among us today. He's walking the earth about it. To warn believers in his day not to be drawn into a state of fear and retreat, they needed to encourage one another daily to firmly hold on to their confession of Jesus. And that's what we have to do. You know, when you think about it, God doing that journey to the promised land, the historic account of his journey appeared in Exodus and Numbers. However, the writer of Hebrews quotes not from the historical account, but from Psalms 91. This was a psalm used in Jewish worship. It called for unflinching devotion to the Lord and warned against disobedience. You know what happens to you when you are disobedient? We must be obedient to the word of God. And I'm going to go over to Psalms 95. And just read a few things briefly in it, in case you don't have your Bible with you right now. I'm going to turn right on over to it and read what thus saith the Lord. Not what thus saith prophetess overseer, but what thus saith the Lord. And starting with verse 7, the word of God say, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today ye will hear his voice. Harden not your heart as in provocation, as in the days of temptation, in the wilderness. Me, prove me and saw my work. 40 years long when I grieved with this generation and say it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest." My. You know, hear this, you know, that the Holy Spirit said this introduction had two purposes. First, it underscored the writer's view of Scripture. God is the ultimate author of all Scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit directs its various writers so that what we have today in the Bible is truly, truly God's word, not our own idea about God. Second, it shows that believers of every generation can and should follow the spiritual guardians in all of Scripture. You know, the Old and the New Testament are not just two stories, but one story. You know, this is the reason the first words of the, excuse me, quotation today is, you hear my voice. You know, it beckoned personally to you and me, just as it did to the first readers of Hebrews and before them to the Israelite in the Old Testament time. You know, when you read scripture, what helps you know that God is speaking personally to you through the scripture? You know, even in the Old Testament passages, have you read recently that serve as an example for you? You know, when you start reading and you say, you know what? That fit me. That's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm going through when you read the scripture. And, you know, the first of last occasion of grumbling, you know, the people had showed a stiff-necked spirit from the time they came out of Egypt until they camped on the edge of the promised land. How many people you know like that right now? They're stiff-necked. They're always grumbling and complaining no matter what the situation is. They find something to grumble about. And in the wilderness, they grumble about a lack of water, a lack of food, and about hardship. You know, rather than growing in their faith as God took care of them in every hardship, they drifted in their faith. You know, they failed the test of faith by testing God. Their heart grew distant, then hard, and finally disobedient. Oh, my God. Their lack of faith reached a tipping point where they refused to enter the promised land. You know, only two of the Israel leaders, Joshua and Caleb, stood boldly with Moses at that time and urged the people to move forward in quickly. Only those two men of their generation were permitted to survive for 40 years of wilderness wandering and to enter the promised land. My. You know, what can believers do to resist the temptation of grumbling against God in time of hardship? How can difficult situations become times of real spiritual growth? It's something God is showing you while you're going through these areas in your life. No, it gonna hurt. Yeah, we may cry. We might want to stomp our foot or whatever. But just think about what all Jesus went through for us. All the agony, all the things that was done to him, all the stripes, all the lashes was done to him, the thorn in his head, the nails in his hand, his feet pierced in the side. Now, do you think you could have went through that, believers? No. But because we got a little toy, a little cold, a little sinus problem, we grumbling and complaining. Nah, say, God, I thank you because I know this too shall pass. I'm giving you praise. This is a light affliction I'm going through. And I can say thank you. You know, the Israelites continued grumbling and disobeyed, grieved God, and resulted in his judgment against them. Now, what do you think about in this generation? Grumbling, being disobedient? That's why I say, watch out, generation. Because we got some in this generation that you got to watch out. You know, that drifted in faith became a settled pattern during the years in the wilderness. They ignored God's ways, and their spiritual neglect led to disobeying, living. God was provoked to wrath. My. You know, when the Bible speaks of God's wrath, it isn't the selfish kind of anger that we exhibit. God's wrath is righteous anger. It is expressed against sin because sin keeps God's people from being who he made us to be. You all, watch out. Be what God have called you to be. Do what God have called you to do. You know, it's expression as judgment, both as temporal judgment to correct and refine believers' faith, and finally, end time judgment against the devil, death, and unbelief. You know, God judged the disobedient. The Israelites, by declaring they would not enter his rest. You know, when you think about that, being disobedient, not doing what God have called for you to do, saying things that God didn't tell you to say, doing things that God didn't tell you to do. You know, the generation of the Israelites was rebellious in the wilderness, died in the wilderness. God did not abandon them as his people, but they never enjoyed the full blessing of life God promised to give them. How many of you know right now in this generation? It's just like those Israelites that rebelled in the wilderness. You know, what would you name as a blessing of the Christian life that believers can miss through disobedience? I'm pretty sure you can come up with a whole list of things. Here, God is letting us know we got to heed the warning. You know, the believers addressed in Hebrew needed to pay attention to the example of disobedient Israelites. You know, the hardship these Christians faced presented them with a moment of truth. Either they would trust God and in enduring that confession of Jesus Christ, or they would drift from God. You know, the longer they drift, the harder their heart will become toward the promises of God. I know you've come across people like that. The more their lives would exhibit evil and unbelief rather than devotion and faith. You know, they were in danger of provoking God's wrath. Just as previous generation of Hebrew, the Israelites had done it. You know, if God judged his rebellious people in the Old Testament time, he also would judge disobedient believers in the New Testament time right now. Hallelujah. You know, they didn't want his readers to take a foolish direction in that journey of faith. They were following believers, brothers in Christ. And he wanted them to turn back to the truth. Believers in sin. You know, believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temple judgment on themselves, just yet they should be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You know, we're still talking about the warning sign God be giving us. You know, the warning given by the writer of Hebrews for Christians in the first century continued to be relevant for believers today. It didn't change from then to now. We're supposed to still keep the faith, still be obedient, still do what God say. We must take care not to let unbelief have any place in our heart. We have so many unbelief Christians nowadays. We need to be especially alert in times of hardship. Those are times when the devil works fearless to sow seeds of doubt about God in believers' mind. If we keep growing in our devotion to Christ, those seeds never germinate. If we drift in our faith, those seeds of doubt to weeds of disobedience. And when I say that, you know, that's an example of seed of doubt. The devil throw at believers in time of hardship. The devil know how to throw all them fiery darts. When he see you going through something, oh, this is the time I can get her, she's down. This is the time I can get him, he's not praying. This is the time I can get her, she's not thinking, she's not reading the word, you know. But what happens helps a believer keep growing in faith and able to resist those temptations? That's when the most will come in. Encouraging each other. We must encourage each other. No matter what I'm going through or I feel I'm going through, somebody else is going through something a little worse than me. So I need to be the bigger person, go and encourage them. Or vice versa, they could encourage me. We have to firmly believe and encourage each other to firmly hold on to the word of God, to Jesus. You know, as we follow Christ, we will face many situations that tests our faith on this side, in this life. You know, God used faithful believers as source of encouragement for other believers. You know, we need to promote and promise that we never abandon any spiritual wounded Christian soldier on the battlefield. Let me say that again. We need to promote that we never abandon any spiritual wounded Christian soldier on the battlefield. We're going to come across some wounded Christian soldiers out here on this field. We must not only take care of our own devotion to Christ, but also do our best to watch out for our fellow believers. You know, every day can bring new challenges to our faith. For that reason, we must constantly be on guard for one another. The challenge of today brings the need for encouragement that cannot be put off till tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but God has put that person in our presence, in our space. We ought to be praying right then for them. We should go in battle with them. If God has sent them to you, he sent them there for a reason. He didn't send them there for you to just look at them, grin at them, play tic-tac-toe. No, you get that devil and that demon right then and there. That's why I say watch out, generation, because the generation now are not coming up like we were. They're not trying to plant their feet on solid ground with Jesus. Maybe a few, but the majority of them not. So we got to watch our brothers and sisters so that that won't be in any of us, some of the things that they're doing. We have to watch out for ourselves also. You know, the word today is a God word. Tomorrow is a Satan word. You know, the words that you find in the scripture from God is always the word today. There's never a tomorrow. The enemy is the one who come and tell us tomorrow. You know, when you think about it, you know, we have to always notice and repeat words or phrases in a Bible message to help us. Sometimes using repetition of key words to emphasize a theme or message. Using word repetition in a section. Sometimes you may have to say it over and over till you done got it down in your spirit. You may have to go through that scripture more than one time because God got a message for you in that scripture. Believers must encourage each other to firmly hold to Jesus. And that's what we have to do. We have to hold on to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, as I went over to Jeremiah, the old prophet Jeremiah warned that the heart is full of deceit. Avoiding sin, deception, therefore, be born, keeping our heart tender and open to God. A growing faith in Christ is every believer's best defense against temptation. We need to encourage one another daily to keep a tender heart of devotion to Christ. My. You know, what recent situation proved to be a test of your faith today? How did God work through other believers to encourage you during this time as you was going through? Just think about it for a little minute. And I bet you can come up with a very good answer. And when I say that, when you think about it, what does it mean to you that your salvation is Christ is kept by God's power and not your own? You ain't got nothing to do with it. And how does that truth motivate you to endure in faith no matter what comes? You got to keep that faith. You got to stand on that faith, that belief. You can't give up no matter what it look like. We all going through something. We all praying for somebody or some other. We are encouraging each other. We're not throwing in the towel. We're not giving up. You know, we're on the front line. Excuse me. So we being on the front line, that means we got to be ready for war. We got to be ready for battle. Can't lay our armors down and our weapons down and keep looking out at that generation. We got to watch out because that enemy is right there to get you. You know, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when our faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all is well. You know, if we trust in religious writers, religious leaders, or anything other than Christ for our salvation, we will find ourselves deceived. Believers must encourage each other to remain faithful. Christianity is a life journey of faith. Ask God to reveal how he will describe your heart. Rank your heart for Christ on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being rock hard and 10 being tenderly open. How will you keep your heart tender? That's what I'm posing to my audience today. We can use God's word to increase others in their spiritual walk today. And you could list a Bible verse you would use this week to encourage another person. It may be something God put on your heart to encourage someone else. Share that word of God with that person. And just think about what action will you take this week because of what I've just said. You know, you can list the name of a person in your Bible study group or who will hold you accountable for completing this action. So believers must encourage each other to firmly hold on to Jesus. Watch out, generation. Jesus is on the scene. Do you want to be obedient or disobedient? As they tell us, do you want to mind? Do you think you can mind? Because that's what it's boiling down to. You got to mind. You got to know what you know and stand on what you know. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't throw up your hand and say, I quit. I'm tired. I don't know which way to go. No. Believers must encourage. If one getting weak, lift that other one up. That's what it means. Encourage each other to firmly hold on to Jesus. Well, I thank you all for coming to the show today. I hope it was something said or something I give you that will encourage you today on believers must encourage each other to firmly hold on to Jesus. And next week we'll have another exciting topic what the Holy Ghost will give to me to put on. But until then, I want you all to have a blessed week. Enjoy. Be prayerful. Stay on bended knees. And look up toward Jesus because he is the author and the finisher of your faith. And until next Wednesday, the 10th of the 17th, be blessed. Bye-bye.
My